Meeting.
Yes, once we get Mr. Hayashi here. Yeah, what is it?
In fact, I got two of them.
Different date? Oh, well, that's all right.
I gave them to him.
Good, Jorge?
Oh, I didn't get the card.
We're sharing this one.
Said you were sharing this.
I have two sets. Yeah, everybody's on one side of the aisle.
Okay. Are we ready to proceed, Mr. Briggs? Do we need Mr. Thomas with us?
We can go ahead.
Okay. All right. Agenda item 13.
Okay.
Do I have to read something for this?
Yes, I'll just introduce the item. It's item 13 is a mandatory minimum penalty order consideration for Kiama Community Services District, and here's the opening statement.
Okay. This is the time and place for a public hearing to consider issuance of administrative civil liability orders to Kiama Community Services District for alleged wastewater discharge permit effluent limit violations. This hearing will be conducted in accordance with the meeting procedures published with the meeting agenda and with the applicable notice of public hearing. For this hearing, the staff functions are separated as follows. The enforcement team includes Assistant Executive Officer Michael Thomas, enforcement staff Harvey Packard and Sorrel Marks, and counsel Jorge Leon. The Regional Board's advisory team is Executive Officer Roger Briggs and Regional Board Counsel Francis McChesney. The Executive Officer normally supervises the staff members on the enforcement team, but is not acting as their supervisor for this matter. Neither the Executive Officer nor Counsel McChesney have had any substantive discussions with members of the enforcement team regarding this matter. At this time, evidence should be introduced on the following issues. Alleged effluent violations, which are included in two draft orders. Draft order R3-2009-0005 proposes mandatory minimum penalties of $6,000 for two violations. Whether the regional board should adopt, reject, or modify the proposed mandatory minimum penalty order. All persons expecting to testify, please stand at this time, raise your right hand, and take the following oath. Do you swear the testimony you are about to give is the truth? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Okay, thank you. Designated parties are as follows. Regional Board Enforcement Team, Kiama Community Services District. The designated parties and their witnesses are subject to cross-examination. The Regional Board Enforcement Team will be allotted a total of 12 minutes during this hearing for direct testimony, rebuttal testimony, cross-examination, and any other presentation to the board, plus an additional 3 minutes for closing statements. Kiama Community Services District will be allowed a combined total of 12 minutes during this hearing for direct testimony, rebuttal testimony, cross-examination, and any other presentation to the board, plus an additional total of 3 minutes for closing statements for a combined total of 15 minutes. The chair may modify these procedures and time allocations as needed. The timer will be adjusted to show the time remaining for the party speaking. At the discretion of the chair, the timer may be stopped for procedural discussions, questions from board members or other causes. All other parties are interested persons and shall limit their comments to 3 minutes. The order of this hearing is as follows. Procedural objections, if any, by the designated parties. Opening statement by the Regional Board Prosecution Team. Testimony by Regional Board Enforcement Team, followed by cross-examination of Regional Board Enforcement Team. Testimony by Discharger's witnesses, followed by cross-examination of Discharger witnesses. Comments by interested persons, rebuttal testimony by Discharger, rebuttal testimony by Regional Board Enforcement Team, closing statement by Discharger, closing statement by Regional Board Enforcement Team. Please state your name, address, affiliation, and whether you have taken the oath before testifying when you come to the podium. We will begin by asking whether either of the designated parties have any procedural objections.
Mr. Chair, before we ask them that,
okay,
this is relevant to that question. I just passed out this letter dated February 4th from Kuyama's consultant, Dudek, and it's a 1.5-page letter which is addressed to Mr. Packard and Mr. Thomas, responding to their letter of February 2nd, which asked or had some basically questions about the compliance project that was proposed in lieu of penalties. And so this letter is answering those questions, and you've agreed to allow it. And I gather, well, the parties can address whether you have any objection. The attachment is, now this is just an excerpt of the attachment that was actually provided with this letter. The full attachment was, I think, 38 pages, and all I did was print out the first page and then the section that has to do with Kuyama Community Services District, and hopefully that will suffice. But the original submittal was actually 38 pages.
Okay. All right. Okay, now I'll ask the question.
Yeah.
Do we have any procedural issues to take up? Mr. Leon?
Mr. Young, thank you. Yeah. Jorge Leon with the Office of Enforcement. We don't have any procedural objections. We just have a concern with respect to the document that is indicated to be the agreement on the condition that it is actually the signed agreement. We haven't seen the whole thing. You know, we're not going to have any problem. Our interest, of course, is in assisting the district today to resolve the issue. We're going to try not to be an impediment toward moving forward. Again, in this matter, we've had some documents that have been late filed. We've had to ask for additional information, and even to this moment, we may not have everything that we need to get what you will hear as a proposed compliance project in order to resolve the issue, but we will work with the district to try to get all that resolved. Whether we can do that today or whether it has to be brought back on another occasion, we're not quite clear yet, but I think we're ready to move forward.
Mr. Leon, when you refer to a signed agreement, are you talking about this?
I am.
Okay. I don't know if that's something we have available on the laptop.
Yes.
We do? Okay.
We don't need to take that up right now, just you know, as long as at some point we could figure it out.
Well, at some point we'll get into what this is, because I don't know at this point other than a letter from Dudek dated February 4th, so someone will have to explain that to me at least. Okay, and is it Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Do you have any procedural issues that you would like us to take up at this time?
No, not at this time.
Okay. All right, then we will move on to hearing testimony by the Regional Board Enforcement Team.
Hi, this is Harvey Packard and Water Board staff, and I did take the oath. We have a presentation by Sorrel Marks, the Water Board staff.
Good morning, Sorrel Marks, and I did take the oath, Water Board staff. As you can see on the slide here, depicts Kuyama the community of Nukuyama and the wastewater facility. So the issue that is before you is mandatory minimum penalties for some discharge violations, some effluent violations from this wastewater facility. This is located approximately halfway between Santa Maria and Bakersfield along Highway 166. The community owns and operates a secondary level treatment facility that uses extended aeration as their treatment process and chlorine as their disinfection process. They discharge to Salisbury Creek, which is a tributary to the Cuyama River. The effluent violations that are subject to the penalty before you today are for chlorine breakdown products, chlorine byproducts, trihalomethanes. They are bromodichloromethane and dibromochloromethane. Now, the discharger has submitted a request to use the penalty of $6,000 towards its compliance project that it already has in the design phase. This is a project that has been approved for grant funding from the State Water Board, and that's what I believe you have a page or two out of the State Water Board grant fund agreement. Now, the Water Code does allow utilizing this sort of a penalty for a compliance project so long as it meets specific conditions. And those conditions are that the compliance project correct these violations within a 5-year period. The discharger has submitted information that their compliance project will take approximately 18 months, so that should give them ample opportunity to complete it within the 5-year window. The project needs to be in accordance with the State Water Board's enforcement policy, and the discharger needs to prepare a financing plan to complete the project. The discharger's consultant, Dudak, has submitted correspondence both in the February 4th letter that you have before you and an earlier one that is dated January 28th, documenting that the proposed compliance project does meet these three criteria to allow the penalty to be dedicated to this project. So the prosecution team does support that action using the penalty towards the compliance project. However, as the order is currently drafted, we would need to amend the order with describing using the penalty for the compliance project. Currently, the order simply says write the check for the penalty amount, and we would need to amend it to dedicate that amount to the project, and we believe a specific schedule should be included, as well as a brief statement that if delays that are beyond the district's ability to control occur, then the executive officer might have the opportunity to work with the schedule to address those sorts of delays. Currently, the grant funds for the compliance project are on hold. So, with that brief summary of what these discharges represent and the proposed applying the penalty to the compliance project, that's all of the presentation I have. Mr. Wilson is the general manager and the operator of the facility, and Tom Evans from Dudak are also here.
Okay. Let me stop the clock. Dr. Hunter?
Thank you, Sorrel. I have one question. Can you fill us in on the criteria for a small community? You referred to it, and I didn't see anything that gives us the information what that is.
Yes, the small criteria or the small community criteria is based on the size of the community, which less than 10,000 population is a size criteria, and the population of Koyama is considerably less than a population of 10,000. That's part of the reason for the picture on the screen. In addition, the community criteria addresses some economic factors mm-hmm. that also apply to Nukoyama.
Okay. So it's like, we don't know what those numbers are right now, but the per capita income, or is it mean level, or do you know just what it may be?
I don't have the specific details of the per capita income in front of me.
Thank you.
Perhaps I can help. The code says that it is a population of 10,000 or fewer, as Sorrell indicated, or a rural county with a financial hardship as determined by the state board or after considering such factors as medium income. And so they apparently meet the criteria based on the level of population.
Thank you.
Mr. Leon, did that say, or a rural county?
Yes. It does say that. It seems it should say rural community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are counties designated as being really
rural
or urban?
Yeah. I think San Luis Obispo is considered to be a rural county.
It's not?
It is. I think it is.
There might be different designations, but the one
I'm
thinking
programs.
Of, there's several counties up in northeastern California that are designated rural and fit this classification automatically. Otherwise, there's economic and population criteria.
So under in that column or in that list, San Luis Obispo is not a rural county.
No.
Mm-hmm. Is that a state water board list? Where does that list come from?
I don't know if it was generated by the state water board, but they use it for this purpose, or the legislature did for this purpose.
Okay.
That's water code that Jorge was reading out.
Right, but what he read didn't list the counties.
Right, but I think for this case it's not really relevant because it says it's a facility serving a
right.
population of 10,000 persons or fewer, or a rural county.
Okay.
In this case, it meets the first criteria. You don't have to worry about the second. But
I think
the State Water Board and the enforcement, part of the enforcement policy lists the what are considered rural counties.
Dr. Hunter.
Are they going to in the new, isn't that the way that's going to work?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Dr. Hunter and I were just engaging in a little academic exploration, that's all. All right, we'll drop that. And, okay. Opening statement, regional board, testimony, enforcement. Mr. Wilson, did you want to ask anything of the enforcement team? It's your opportunity to ask them questions.
At this time, no.
Well, but this would be the time for you to do it, so you can't wait till the end and say that you'd like to take anything up.
I understand that, and I want to thank the board for taking the time for this. So, but actually, I have no questions. What they are saying is we pretty well go along with it because of the fact this is, speaking of the community, it's only 800 population. And it's very the medium income, and they're doing a survey at this time. The state is for it. The income is roughly $30,000 a year, medium income. And so we have to go after grants. So since we have not met the criteria on the THMs, which it's hard to do, therefore we have to go find the money, and it is grants to do it because we've raised the rates so much. We put in arsenic filtering system 2 years ago, And then in 99, we started up the new wastewater plant. And, of course, it uses chlorine. So that's where we stand. At this time, I have no way the board here, I have no other questions because it seemed like they're trying to work with us to get this solved.
Okay. And do you have any other information that you'd like us to consider? Because we go into the next phase, which is allowing you to put on your case or to call any witnesses that you want?
No, we don't, other than the fact Mr. Evans here, Tom Evans, is the one that engineered for the project. We're trying to go with a UV there to eliminate this problem.
Okay. All right. Did you want him to speak at all?
Yes, if he would, to give a rundown on what we plan on doing, if that's okay.
That's up to you. Okay. That's your time.
Chairman and board members, Tom Evans with DUDEC, and offices in Santa Barbara, 621 Chapala Street, and I did take the oath. Certainly available to answer questions, but to start with, the piece of paper you were showing earlier with the signatures from the state board, that is a contract, a binding contract that the district has signed to perform a project that involves elimination of the chlorination and substituting a UV treatment type facility. And that was based on a report done by CH2M Hill that did a preliminary design study, looked at the alternatives, and came up with that as the alternative that was best to be followed. And they actually made the grant application as a part of the Proposition 50, it was round two, and subsequently that was awarded to Kuyama among, I think there are 14 partners in Santa Barbara County that all have a share of that grant. So that's where we are at this point. The district is moving forward with a design, and as soon as the grant funds are frozen, I would think we'd go right into construction.
Okay.
As soon as they're unfrozen.
Okay. Any board questions or comments? Anything else either of you would like to present to us?
I think we've had a meeting of the minds, and as far as we're concerned, we're in good shape.
All right.
Quick question, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Briggs.
You said you're proceeding with design, so is your plan to complete design, even though we have a little hiccup in the grant reimbursement?
I think we'll pace it as best as they can afford the cash flow. We may hold some of the billings for a while, and we'll just try to work it out. This is a kind of a day-by-day thing, and we've been told by the staff that's administering the grant at the state level that this should be resolved shortly. I don't think anybody knows exactly, but we're ready to move. And at this point, we'll be moving slowly until we get definite clearance for the grant monies, and then we'll move full speed ahead.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Did the prosecution team wish to cross-examine the discharger?
No, thank you.
Okay. All right. Comments by interested persons. Do we have any, Mr. Briggs?
I don't think we do.
No.
Does anyone in the audience wish to speak as an interested person on this matter? Okay. Mr. Wilson, any further testimony? We call this rebuttal testimony based on what you've heard.
No, not at this time. What I hear is very reasonable and trying to work with them to work this out.
Okay. Mr. Leon, any rebuttal testimony?
We seem to be at a loss. No, thank you.
All right, okay. This is time for your closing statements, Mr. Wilson, if there's anything you'd like to have us consider in closing statements.
Not at this time.
Yeah. You know, this is structured this way on purpose. I know it seems kind of, I don't know what we would call it, kind of academic, but we're required to go through this because...
Well, I understand that, but at this time and discussing what I'm hearing, the board here, the Water Quality Control Board, is working, trying to work this out and helping the community. And the community is so far, is I do know that we had to change this because we can't keep those THMs down. So, and we've been working toward that. So the Water Quality Control Board at this time seems to be working with us. And so I have no further comments on it because as long as we can work this out. And it seems to be we are.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Leon, any closing statements? Mr. Packard?
We think that the order that's in your package speaks for itself. It's
okay.
A simple matter. But we do have a couple of concerns with the compliance project. We don't object to the compliance project and agree that it's an appropriate way to allocate the penalty. And we haven't brought any suggested language to this point, but we do have a concern about how the district is going to pay the $6,000. Normally, when we have a compliance project, the board adopts an order that specifies that the money is put into some sort of account, so there's an assurance that that money is going toward the project. In this case, the project is almost totally grant-funded. The match that is being supplied by the district is being supplied with in-grant service or in-kind services. So we're not sure where this $6,000 will go to or come from, and that's our main concern at this point.
Francis?
My question to you, I know it says mandatory minimum. Do we have any way to waive that fee?
No, other than allowing.
We have no latitude at all.
No, other than allowing up to $15,000 $6,000 to go towards a project based on the terms that Sorrell described.
Okay.
And it.
So what I'm looking for is we don't have any latitude that we can waive the fine.
No. So what it says is in lieu of assessing all or a portion of the mandatory minimum penalty, the regional board may elect to require the discharge or to spend an equivalent amount toward the completion of a compliance project. So Harvey raises the point that their funding is from a source other than themselves. So it may not quite qualify for that, so I don't know if,
well, I understand
if there's
it.
A way to
we could take in a
document the in-line, the in-kind services.
Yeah.
So you could put that they document that they spend at least so
well,
much.
Well, can the penalty in-kind be service. In-kind services?
It just
instead
says spend
amount?
An equivalent amount toward the completion of the project. That's what the law says. So.
Well, can we define that to be in kind?
I don't see why not, but.
Well, what I'm looking at is a very small community
right.
that has very, very little money, and my thoughts are that I would rather see as much of the dollar amount go into correcting the problem. And it's obvious that these folks don't have a whole lot of money out there, and if we can mitigate it by saying that they can do in-kind to meet the $6,000 maximum penalty, that's where I'm trying to go, and that's what I'm asking you for a legal opinion.
Right, so I think the question is there some way to document the amount of the in-kind services that the discharger can provide to the board that, in fact, that amount was expended.
Well, I'm sure they.
So I guess that's a question for either party here, if there's a way to do that.
Time guard.
Actually, that's my question also. Is there a way to do that? I'm not sure there is, and maybe Dudek or the district can help us out there, but
well, I would assume that the general manager's time working on this particular project is worth X many dollars mm-hmm. per hour, and if that was equated at so many hours, mounted up to $6,000.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking for, is some other alternative. I know this is something new that I'm bringing up, but under the circumstances with I wouldn't say a depressed area, but it's a low-income area, and it's a very small community. $6,000 didn't sound like a whole lot, but I'm sure to those folks in that district, it's a lot of money. And that's what I'm looking for, some kind of alternative way of handling it.
You don't know, Francis. You know, we should find out.
I don't know, and I can see if I can take a little bit of a break to find out.
I understand that, and I think my position is I would like it to get that answer here, and for me to make my final decision.
Okay, well, I can. But that would mean that we would have to.
But isn't in kind? Isn't that usual and customary on matching grant funds?
Well, I think I
don't know how. I mean, if they get a grant, then is there anything they have to pay to?
In this particular case, the grant that the district has, the district's match portion is approximately $58,000. And if I'm not mistaken, they were proposing to, for all of that to be in-kind services. So the grant, I didn't look specifically for this in the contract, but I'm guessing that the contract itself itemizes how those how those in-kind services will be accounted for on a dollar basis, so that the match could be accounted for.
That assumes that in kind is allowable.
Right.
And that's what you need to check.
Yes.
Okay.
Dr. Hunter?
Yeah, I think the only concern I would have is that we not look at the $58,000 that's already dedicated in kind to grant match and consider somehow $6,000 of that to also match or provide an in kind for this penalty. Mm-hmm. That would be using the same funds for two different purposes. I would have that question.
And the letter before you, the February 4th letter, indicates that $58,000 has already been spent. It says that 100% of the district's match funds have already been demonstrated.
That's right. So a match presented to us would occur at a future point in time.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Okay. Very good.
Well, what do you want to do as far as finding?
Well, I can just take a minute to go call up somebody.
Okay.
Sure. But I'm emailing right now. Just
maybe it's opportune time to break.
Well, let's see.
Break
if we complete
come back
it, let me
this.
Just ask one thing. Have we completed our closing statements?
I think so.
Okay. Mr. Wilson, did you have something else?
Yes. I was wanted to comment on communities' budgets. We've been in the red for the last 3 years, and we're cutting salaries and everything else. And to do this project, if we don't get 100% grants, the community can't do it. We have two, we put in the wastewater plant, and on top of that, we had grants from USDA, but we also had to put up money, and then a loan. And between the two loans, between that and the arsenic plant, is roughly $250,000 we owe, the community owes on loans. It's eating the community up. That's what the reason we're in the red. So we can't afford, we're back to square one. We can't afford any monies at all right now. I've got the last 3-year audits, and we're in the red. and with the way the economy and everything is. So any way possible, we're working toward eliminating this problem, and to do that we're trying to go with I think we have it worked out where we can go with this UV raise. So anyway, the money's not there. I wished it was, but it's not.
Okay. Thank you. All right. I think that concludes all of our closing statements, correct? Okay. It's now within the board's purview. And are we waiting for Francis then to
can
we take a break?
Maybe the thing to do would be to go ahead and break for lunch, and we'll come back and finish this up.
Will I have an answer to my question?
Yes. Unless Francis gets a really fast answer.
You know what I thought that we might do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we need Francis here for this, but we have some public comment speakers, and I wouldn't mind going.
Oh, for public, not on this item, you mean?
Not on this item.
Sure, that's fine.
We'll table this item for right now.
Okay.
If we can
we might
do
get
that.
An answer in the meantime.
Okay, so we can get an answer from probably Sacramento. Yes, sir.
Tom Evans with Dudek again. If I could just get a clarification, if I am understanding correctly, as I said before, I'm going to be doing the engineering work and sending a bill to Koyama. Now, if they pay that bill and then later get the grant, you're saying that's not the same thing. That's not the same thing as using their funds because they're getting the money eventually. Because that's part of the problem is
that's
the cash flow.
That's
problem.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
And that's why I think the in-kind seems like a more realistic focus for how to achieve what Mr. Jeffries is trying to.
All right. Well, I would just suggest to consider that we don't know that we're going to have enough as we get through this process. We're committed to it. We have a contract that says we'll spend the money, but we don't know what's going to happen at the end. And by the time we put this out to bid and install it and all of that, and the district will be including part of Mr. Wilson's time as an in-kind as part of the grant. Wow. But at the end, we don't know. Mm-hmm. We know the grant is fixed, but mm-hmm. we don't know what our project costs are that well. Mm-hmm. We're on the very front end of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that we have the opportunity to look for the simplest way to accomplish on our part meeting the minimum penalty with in-kind, if that's something that can be accommodated.
If there was some way to put it at the back end of the project, that would be the best for the district, because at that point we're committed anyway, and we'll have to find the money somehow.
Well, I think that's what generated my question, whether we can, in lieu of paying cash for the minimum penalty, is it would be some kind of an in lieu payment by work being done.
Yeah, I follow that, but our in lieu work is going to be quantified and sent off to be reimbursed by the grant as well.
I understand.
Until we get to this point.
This is a different issue than that. This is a penalty.
I understand that. Yeah.
So, the contract in lieu work is different than the penalty that we're talking about right now.
Okay, and I think what Mr. Wilson's point was is that there is no money.
And I realize that.
Therefore, if we want to try to expend that money now, we're limited.
Well, my question is, if the penalty was to go forth as is, where would the $6,000 come from to pay the penalty?
We'd have to ask the board what to do.
But that's
not your board. Our
I understand.
And what I heard Mr. Wilson say is that salaries have been reduced, not cut to zero. So for future work that is done towards the compliance project, it seems like that would conceivably qualify as in-kind services.
Sure.
As long as it's not completely reimbursed by the grant. So if as long as there's $6,000 worth of services by Mr. Wilson, or if there's another employee who's working on it, I don't know, but it seems like that would be workable if it turns out that in-kind services are even allowed. Does that track with?
I'm not following that because the whole point is that if they're spending time on that particular project, that's grant eligible.
I think what we ought to do is wait for the attorney to come back and give the answer to my question, And if it's yes, we can do it, then it'll become more clear what's going to happen. If it's no, then I don't think we have any alternative.
Okay.
So. And we should have that answer probably within the next hour. Okay. So, hopefully.
Well, maybe before that. Mr. Hodgson, you had something to include with this?
I thought I had some wording that would resolve the issue, but since we're going to take this up later, perhaps we should move along with your idea of taking some other items.
Okay, so we're going to table this for right now, this agenda.